Right, I invite you this morning to turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6, Ephesians chapter 6, and we're going to be in verses 5 to 9 this morning. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 5 to 9. And this morning we're going to be looking at the master-slave relationship as is described here in Ephesians chapter 6. You know, when the topic of slavery comes up, there's a lot of course, thoughts and feelings. We immediately think of slavery in the 1800s in America and how the Civil War was at least partly over slavery. We think of the horrific abuses that masters committed. And so the first instinct for many people is when they hear this topic of slavery is to recoil at it. And since that's many people's response, I want to tackle some questions that are raised about slavery before we go further. And first, a question that may arise in your mind as you think about this is you may wonder, okay, I know slavery is wrong, so why does Paul mention the master-slave relationship and why does he not condemn it? Well, we need to understand Paul's context. He's writing at a time when slavery was an accepted and deeply ingrained system in the Roman world. In fact, surprisingly, they say 1/3 of the population were slaves. So think also at this time, Christianity is pretty new, right? Christ was only there a couple decades before Paul was writing. And so the Christians at that time were a tiny sliver of the population. So it's not like they can just go out and overturn the system in a day. Also, you think about this. They lived in the Roman world. They lived under the Roman Empire. For us, we're used to having a democratic mindset. For them, they lived under Roman oppression. They lived under sort of an emperor, a tyrant, so to say. They did not live in a country of representation. And so what Paul does is he's in this context and he uses this time in his letter to help Christians live godly lives in the situation that they're in. And so this is the situation that they're in. How do we live godly lives in that situation? Because that's what they needed most at this time. How do I live for the Lord in this moment? Because this is the situation we're in, how do I live? But the second question that I want to tackle is, how do we apply these verses then? Because, of course, in our country, we don't have a master-slave relationship. How do we apply it? Well, there's a reason why I entitled my sermon, The Boss-Employee Relationship. Now, of course, I know the boss-employee relationship is not the same thing as a master-slave relationship. But I do believe there is some similarities. Because you think about a master-slave relationship is where one person has authority over another person's work. And so also, a boss has a certain authority over an employee's work. Now, definitely, an employee has way more freedom than a slave does, right? An employee can say, I'm out of here, I quit, right? And leave. That wasn't possible for a slave. But yet, there's still this authority structure in place when it comes to your work. And so that's how we're going to apply it today as we will see how this relationship is to be shaped by our faith. So let's read the passage to begin. Ephesians 6, 5. Bondservants, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart as you would Christ, not by the way of eye service as people pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, rendering service with a good will as to the Lord and not to man, knowing that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether he is a bondservant or is free. Masters, do the same to them and stop your threatening, knowing that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven and that there is no partiality with him. And so as we apply this passage to our day, the first thing that we see is employees obey your bosses. And this kind of relates to the slaves obey your masters. So employees obey your bosses. If you think about it, a large portion of our adult lives are spent at work. Let's just say you work, you know, the typical 40 hours a week. Then work takes up almost 1/4 of your time during the week. That's a lot of time. And that means that this instruction is especially important for us because we're there so often. Some people feel like I live at my job, right? Some people feel that way. And so as employees, how are we to relate to our bosses? Paul says, bondservants, obey your earthly master. And so this is a command that we must heed. We must obey those who are over us when it comes to our work. So this is not an option. Paul is saying this is a command, obey. Meaning you can't just pick and choose what you want to do that day, but you're called to listen and heed the orders given to you at the job site. And so what Paul is showing us here is that Christian workers are to be obedient workers. We are not to be defiant, but compliant. Now, obviously, if your boss tells you to do something unethical, something sinful, we obey God over man, of course. But if it's not sin, if it's not unethical, we should be upstanding, you can count on us type of worker. We shouldn't be the type of worker that always is arguing back, that's always grumbling. Nor should we be a pain to our employer. Your boss shouldn't groan when he or she sees you come in the door. They should be delighted that, okay, here's someone who's a hard worker who actually listens. And so, Christian, if you have a job, do you obey your employer, your boss? And I know the bosses come in, manager, supervisor, whatever it may be, the authority over you. Do you comply with what they tell you, or is it sort of like pulling teeth to get you to do something? God wants us to respect and follow this authority structure in the workplace. He doesn't want us to be these unruly rebels, but He wants us to be submissive there. And really, He wants us to shine as good, godly examples of people who are humbly, are submissive, and not those who are just constantly causing trouble. And so we have this main command, obey. But as you go further, you find that God cares about the manner in which you work. The manner in which you work. Because we all know there's a big difference when someone is making your food. There's a big difference between someone who joyfully makes you a sandwich and someone who is doing it slamming doors and mumbling under their breath, right? There's a big difference. They both made you food. They both made you a sandwich. But how they did it matter. And so also when it comes to our jobs, God cares about how you work, the manner in which you work. He cares about your heart as you work. Do you realize that? And so He isn't displeased with something being checked off as done. He cares how you did it. Notice Paul says, he says, obey with fear and trembling. Now this doesn't mean every time your boss comes in the room, shaking your boot, right? It doesn't mean that. It means, though, you are to have a certain reverence and respect for those who are over you. You don't take their authority lightly. You don't treat them disrespectfully. But you should have a certain respect and reverence for their position over you. And so do you show respect toward your boss, or are you constantly disrespectful to them? Do you show that reverence towards them in their position? Another quality comes out is sincerity. And this is multiple places in here. He says, obey with sincere hearts. And then in verse 6, do the will of God from the heart. That's not all. He says, don't people please. And so what are you seeing is that God truly cares about your heart as you work. He doesn't, it's not just your action. Of course, your actions matter, but the heart matters to God. And of course, you see this, you know, throughout the, you know, Jesus' teachings, but here you see it reiterated that God doesn't want us to be fake, but genuine. at the workplace, people should see the real you, not the plastic you. Meaning, we don't merely act like good workers, we are to actually be good workers. Because we all know people at the workplace who can act like a good worker, but they're horrible workers. But that is not to be us. We are to actually be that from the heart, from sincerity. We are to actually be good workers. He says, don't do this by way of eye service. Meaning, don't just be a good worker when your boss is looking. Don't do things so that you would just look good. Because let's say you're slacking off at the job. You hear your boss coming down the hallway and you quick, like, do all this amazing, do all this work. And look, you're acting like you're doing all this work when you're really not. You're trying to people please. Or let's say that you hear that your boss is going to be in this certain room later in the day. And so you're thinking, okay, I'm going to go at that time and I'm going to make it look like I'm doing all this amazing thing so I impress him or her. That is people-pleasing. Because you're not acting the same way as if they're not around, as if they are around. You're trying to impress your boss simply to impress them, rather than simply, I'm just being a good worker. Now, of course, if you're doing a good, hard work, and your boss is impressed, praise the Lord. But there's a difference when your motivation is simply, I'm just going to impress them, even though I'm not a good worker. There's a big difference. So we work with sincerity. We work whether it's acknowledged or not, we work well. We work the same whether our boss is around or not. Another thing is verse 7, rendering service with a good will. The good will here means a good attitude, a willingness to serve. Too many times people have horrible attitudes at work. We all know people with horrible attitudes at work. They refuse to do any extra thing that their boss asks of them, and they're not very pleasant. But we should be workers who have a certain humble, servant-mindedness at the workplace. So when our boss asks us to do something, we should willingly be willing to do it with a good attitude. Imagine if we all at the workplace worked with a good will. Now, of course, there's ways that they can abuse you or overload you, which are maybe inappropriate, and there's nothing wrong with necessarily speaking up at that point, but I'm just talking about the normal day that, hey, can you just do this extra thing today? We need a little help today. Okay, I'm going to do it willingly and with a positive, good attitude. God cares about the kind of worker that you are, and so the manner in which you work matters to God. You realize that? The manner in which I work, it matters to God. He wants you to be a sincere worker, not a people pleaser, not just putting on a show, sincerely. He wants you to have a certain respect for your boss's position. He wants you to have goodwill, this good attitude and a willingness to serve. And so you see, God doesn't want fake people pleasers. He doesn't want insubordinate grumps. He wants sincere, good, hard workers. He wants us to be that. And so as you think about yourself, maybe you have a job or maybe you don't, but as you think about your job, what kind of worker are you? What do you fit when it comes to these lists of things? But something else that's very important that we see, as workers, we are to work with a recognition of who our highest master is. Work with a recognition of who your highest master is. In this passage, Paul continually points us to something. He continually points us to the Lord. He says to work as to the Lord, really. He notice how he says, obey your earthly masters as you would Christ. And then he calls us work as bondservants of Christ. Likewise, do the will of God. Render service with goodwill as to the Lord and not to man. He's emphasizing the same type of thing over and over again. You are to work as to the Lord. And so a Christian is motivated to be a good worker by remembering who I ultimately serve when I work. I'm serving Christ Jesus as I work. Oh, how things would change if we simply remembered that. How could we slack off if we remembered I'm serving Christ ultimately? And so that means if I'm disobeying, my boss, if I'm disrespectful to my boss, I'm really, in a way, being disrespectful and disobeying Christ. Because he said you should do it as to the Lord. What a radical thing to consider, yet it's true. One commentator put it this way: the conviction of the Christian workman is that every single piece of work he produces must be good enough to show to God. You should act like God is my ultimate boss, because he really is. And so what you see here is that your work part of your life is not this off-the-side thing detached from Christ. Do you realize that? It's not like, okay, I have my work bubble over here, I have my church bubble, and I have the family bubble, and that's not how it works. Because you see here that my faith is impacting and influencing my work life. It's not detached from Christ. And so service to Christ isn't merely what you do on Sunday. It's also what you do all week long. And so this lifts every so-called lowly job in the world to the highest of heights. Because it means whether you're flipping burgers or cleaning toilets or anything else, you are serving Christ. And that means that you can come home from work, and if you legitimately did a good job, you could say, I served Christ well today. Because it's true. That's what Paul is showing us. You serve Christ as you work. Some people think, oh, you're a pastor, you serve Christ, but I don't. And I would say, based on this passage, you're wrong. Of course I serve Christ, but you serve Christ too. Because here, that's what Paul is showing us. Whether, no matter what you are serving Christ in your job. And I just love verse 8. Verse 8 is so comforting. It says, knowing that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether he is a bondservant or is free. Do you realize what God is saying to you through that verse? God notices what you do at your job. Now that can be challenging if you're doing a horrible job, right? That can be challenging because it means he knows. But on the flip side, it means this. That's ultra comforting because he knows what I'm doing. It means that all of this work that you do, all of this work that you do does not ultimately go unnoticed at your workplace. No matter how unnoticed it goes among other people, it does not go unnoticed because God sees, God knows. And what the verse is saying, God rewards. Like, what greater motivation do we have to have to be a good hard worker than to know that God sees and God knows all about my work? And it's showing us the Lord is really the best master, the best boss that there is, because he acknowledges my work. But he doesn't only acknowledge it, he rewards the good that I do. Meaning he doesn't overlook it. Sometimes you have a boss who overlooks all the good things you do. And you feel like, is anyone going to notice all of this hard work I'm putting in? But here's the other thing. He doesn't neglect what you do. Sometimes bosses neglect to even go and see what you're doing that's good. But God doesn't do that. Though your employer may never acknowledge all of the work you do, though they may never reward all of your hard work, you can know that what truly matters is God knows. God sees, God rewards. For what truly matters and what can help you in even the hardest, hardest job that you have, the one that you are doing so much, yet you're never acknowledged for all that hard work, though you're never rewarded for all that hard work, What truly helps you in that situation to have a certain stability and contentment is to know the greatest evaluation of my work is not really my boss. It's Christ. Because Christ sees, Christ knows, Christ rewards. And that's what truly matters. Now, you may not see rewards today, but someday in heaven you will be rewarded. And so, employees, obey your bosses. This is what you're called to do by God, because you're ultimately serving Christ in your place of employment. And so that means work with a sincere heart, doing the will of God at your job. Know that you're to live out your faith in the workplace and realize, I can glorify God here. I can glorify God in this workplace because I'm serving Christ. And it may not even, appear that way. It may not feel that way. But what you're doing is you're ultimately serving Christ, and that I can glorify God by what I do. And so, Christian employees, that's what we see, how you are to relate to your boss. But what about the flip side? How are bosses, Christian bosses, to relate to their employees? And we see, number two, bosses, treat your employees well. Treat them well. Do you think about all the different types of bosses, managers and supervisors and owners and all of the different types of bosses? You know, sadly, sometimes they have a bad reputation. You know, I think we all have that, that idea of those bosses. Some are harsh bosses. Some are like unappeasable, meaning you feel like you can never make them happy, no matter what you do. And there's some where you feel like if I make one bad move, I'm going to be chewed out once again. You're the kind of bosses where you're tiptoeing around them because you're nervous about them. And some bosses they never recognize those things that you do. They overlook what you do. But there's also other bosses who are lazy. They do nothing, and yet they expect everything from their workers. And so the employees find their boss just sitting around doing nothing all the time, and they're breaking their back trying to get everything done. And the boss will say, well, why didn't you get this, this, and this done? And in your mind, what are you thinking? Well, what did you do all day, right? And so we have these thoughts about bosses, and they often have bad reputation. And now, that would probably be expected for those who don't know Christ. But here's the thing. As Christian bosses, we are not to be like that. Instead, Paul addresses Christian masters, and he calls them to treat those under them well. Like slaves, Paul calls masters to live out their faith in this realm of their life. Paul says in verse 9, masters, do the same to them. Now the question is, what exactly does that entail? Just do the same, right? That's essentially what, do the same to them. Now, of course, it doesn't mean, hey, bosses, relinquish your authority and become a slave. But it means in your authority position, have these same quality as the slave was called to show. So, have sincerity. Meaning, bosses, don't be fake. Because, even bosses can be people pleasers. Do you realize that? Bosses can be people pleasers. We all know bosses who will say what you want to hear, but then never do it. We all know bosses like this. Because they're trying to make it look good. Hey, I'm the great boss, but then I won't follow through. We all know bosses who will say one thing to your face, but then talk bad about you behind your back. Christian bosses are not to be people pleasers, but to work with sincerity, oversee and manage with sincerity. Like the slaves, they are to do the will of God in their position, meaning they are to honor and glorify God in their position. And of course, serve with goodwill. So they are not to be the stereotypical grumpy boss who always has a bad attitude, but they are to have a good attitude as they interact with their employees, be willing to serve them. And of course, they are to work with the knowledge that they're serving Christ. And we'll talk a little bit more about that a little bit later. But I want us to think about the fact. So think about this setting of master and slave and back in that day. And Paul is telling masters, okay, I just told the slaves to do this. And now he goes to masters and says, do the same. Can you imagine if you're a master, like, call me to do the same as a slave? Now, of course, as we talked about, it's not exactly the same. Don't relinquish your authority in that way. But talk about bringing a master down. Even though the authority structure isn't torn down, Paul is calling Christian masters and slaves on the same level with their comes to their conduct. And if this was followed, think about how it would prevent any sort of abuse of authority. Because prideful masters would be like, what is this? You call me to act like a slave in some way. And yet, God calls us to humble servanthood. And so those of you who are bosses in any type of way, means you could be an owner and you're a boss in that way, or a manager, or you oversee some other employees in some sort of fashion. How do you function in your authority role? Do you misuse your authority, or do you serve others in love? How's your attitude at your work? Do you honor and glorify God by how you manage and supervise and govern? You see, God is calling you to a higher and better and more loving way of leading others. Because you see, in the second half of verse 9, Paul says, and stop your threatening. God calls masters to immediately stop their threatening, to immediately stop their abusive ways. You see, God's ways are not inherently promoting abuse. Some people try to say that. Rather, God confronts this abuse head on and calls it out. Masters, stop your threatening. The fact that Paul has to say this means it was a common practice among masters. They would use threats in ruling and governing over their slaves. And so these threats were mean and abusive. Masters would probably threaten slaves with harm. They would probably threaten with a harsh punishment if they didn't do what they wanted. And so what they did was they would use these threats to intimidate their slave, to scare them, to pressure them into doing what they wanted. But threats are really a total abuse of your authority, because you're using your authority in this sinful way to get what you want. But God tells Christian bosses, stop doing that. You may have done it in the past, but no longer. That's not how you treat others. And so acting like that as a Christian is unacceptable. It's sinful. And so if you're a Christian boss, you need to stop intimidating your employee. You should need to stop manipulating or scaring them or pressuring them in those ways, in those harsh ways. Do not treat them like that. Meaning there ought to be absolutely no form of verbal abuse or scare tactics or manipulation in how you manage other people. Now the question is why? Like, why does Paul say this? And the reason just completely obliterates any abuse of power. When you really think about it, it obliterates any abuse of power. He says, stop your threatening, knowing that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and that there is no partiality with him. And so a master is to treat his slave well because he knows him and his slave are on the same level under the master of heaven. What an astounding truth. Because this truth helps us to treat one another with dignity and respect. And it has two parts to it. First, the Christian boss realizes, no matter how high my position, no matter how much authority I have, I do not have the highest position. Do you realize that, bosses? You may feel like I am at the top, but you're not at the top, because there's someone above you. there's a master in heaven. And guess what? You're under that master in heaven. And so you have a boss. You have a master. And so it means, as the boss remembers this, it reshapes how they lead. Because how could I abuse my authority when I have someone over me and he knows how I'm treating my employees? He knows. He sees. And guess what? There is no favoritism with him. But he knows and he sees. And so it helps on that side. Because what if every day a boss remembered, I have a boss over me and he knows what I'm doing. He knows how I'm treating those under me. But here's the second way this truth helps bosses, Christian bosses, is it helps them to rightly view those who are under them. Because no longer are your employees to be seen as inferior to you, who you can push around. Instead, what is God doing through his word? He's bringing them on the same level before God. He's saying, you both have a master, both yours and theirs. And guess what? You're on the same level. There's no partiality. There's no favoritism. You're on the same level. The ground is level under the master in heaven. He's not impressed by your job title, bosses. He doesn't give you any sort of favoritism because, wow, look at you. You're a supervisor. You're an owner. You're a manager. But he is the perfect, just, and righteous master who we're all under. And so, Christian bosses, as you function in your role, remember your master in heaven. Remember he's over you. And so you need to think about, how do I treat people who are under me? How do I treat my employees? Am I harsh with them? Do I threaten them? Or am I kind to them? Am I loving? Am I gracious? Because I have a master in heaven who I'm accountable to. And remember, in God's sight, I'm not really superior to them. If you're a boss, you're not really superior in God's eyes. He doesn't say, look at you, but look at them. No. He says, you're all under me and my authority. You're both under the master in heaven, and so treat your workers with dignity, value, and respect. Treat them with dignity, value, and respect. And so as we look at this passage today, we see this. Bosses and employees are to function in a way that reflects that they have a master in heaven. Both bosses and employees. You know what? God's word is not silent on how we are to function at the workplace. Rather, his word touches on all of life. And so really, our faith is to be lived out on every single aspect of our life. There is nothing outside of the jurisdiction of the Lordship of Jesus Christ. It's all under him and his authority. And so that means, workers, think about how you work. Think about how you relate to those who are over you. Are you a sincere, good, hard worker? Or are you a people pleaser? Or are you insubordinate? Bosses, don't be harsh. Don't be mean. Don't be abusive in how you treat your workers. Instead, treat them with dignity and respect. Honor the Lord in the way that you manage those under you. But imagine the difference it would make if both bosses and employees lived this out. What a better work environment it would be. God's ways are always good. Now, I know many of you have unbelieving bosses, right? Many of you have unbelieving employees. And so this ideal won't always be seen, right? Yet it doesn't mean you're off the hook. But you're called to do what God has called you to do. You're called to live as he has called you to live. And you just leave the results up to him, knowing he knows, he sees, he rewards. Though it may not completely change your workplace environment, It may not change your, you know, the way that your boss treats you, or the way that your employees respond to you. You can know I'm obeying Christ. I'm serving Christ. And He knows. And that's what's most important. May we all, both bosses and employees, remember we have a Master in heaven. We're ultimately serving Him in the workplace. And when you think about it, what an honor. What a privilege to serve our Master in heaven. No matter what we're doing at our jobs. Do you realize that? No matter what you do at your job, what position you have, you are serving Christ. And so that means that computer work, that secretary work, that cleaning work, that lawyering work, that teaching work can all be done to the glory of God. It can all be done to the glory of God. And so this lifts anything up, because it means any position I have, any job I have, can be an act of worship. My work can be worship. My work can be a service to Christ. So how could we not serve Him? When you really think about what Christ has done, how could we not serve Him who served us by giving His life as a ransom? By giving up His life as He died on the cross for us. He gave His life for us. We give back our work. He freed us from sin so that we can live and work for His honor and glory in gratefulness and praise to Him. And so we glory in our Lord and Master, who we realize we are always under. And the thing is, though, He's a good Master. He's a good Lord. He's a faithful one. He's an honest one. He is truly the glorious Lord and Master. But He's not just that, but because He's also our Savior, our loving Redeemer, and our close friend. Pray. Dear good and gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, there's a lot of different things on our minds, but I just pray that You'd help us. Whether we're bosses or employees, or even if we don't have a job, Lord, the way that we work and interact with others matters. And Lord, we know that You care, and You care about our hearts. And so I pray that we would remember these truths, that You would impact them deep into our hearts, so that we would lift and glorify and honor You at our workplaces or whatever we may be doing. I pray if there's somebody here this morning who doesn't know Christ, that they would turn and believe in Him and trust in Him as the only way to be saved and forgiven. And may we all just glorify You in no matter what we're doing as we go or throughout the week. In Christ's name, amen.
Thank you so much for listening. We pray that you were encouraged by the sermon today. This sermon was preached at First Baptist Church of Clearfield, Pennsylvania. If you'd like more information about our church, you can visit our website at fbcclearfield.com. May God grant you grace and peace as you look to Him today.